You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Callner here in the studio with Sky Sports pundit Jamie Spence on the line to look ahead to the 115th US Open Championship, and Rory McIlroy, the 7-1 favourite here with William Hill. First of all, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Jamie Spence. Good afternoon, Jamie.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is my favourite major. This and the Open, they're the two.
Why is this your favourite major, Jamie, first of all?
I just like the test that it provides for the players. I've always enjoyed watching it. I'm not a huge Masters fan or USPGA fan. I think this and the Open are the two that I think every pro would love to win.
And this is, Jamie, I think the most interesting of the major championships. The US Open's for many years, and that is because of the golf course, really. Chambers Bay hosting the event this year, built on an old mining site, only first opened in 2007, so it's a very young golf course, and the only tournament it's hosted of any real significance was the 2010 US Amateur. The amount of column inches that have been written in the lead up to this championship going through the demands of the golf course has been incredible, really.
Yeah, it's really got all the pros going, isn't it, this one?
It has.
Mike Davis from the USGA, who sets the course up, he's been doing this for the last few years. He likes to push a lot of the tees a long way forward. They're going to change the par here on number 1 and number 18. They're going to flip them from a 4 to a 5, depending on which day it is. He's going to move tees miles up. The ninth hole here can either be playing a really long par 3 down a 100-foot drop, or they're going to play it about 130 yards up the hill. Work that one out if you can. So Mike Davis has really set out to, he wants to get in the heads of the players. He wants to provide a different test. He wants the thoughtful pro, the pro that's diligent, that puts all the hours in to come through in the end. He's not just going to produce your run-of-the-mill golf course. And I applaud him for that in many ways. I think golf needs to experiment and move on a bit. And what I see of this golf course, you won't have seen anything like it in your life. It looks like somewhere on the moon, to be perfectly honest with you. But what I look at it, I think, yeah, I'd love to go and play there.
Do you think length is going to be a factor on this golf course?
Well, it always is, but maybe not so much if the ball's running. They've got a stretch of holes which Robert Trent Jones Jr., the designer, I mean, he's some sort of sadistic designer, this fella. 4, 5, 6 and 7, I mean, they measure almost 2,000 yards. All par fours, so it obviously got to help you to hit the ball a long way. And the last, if it's playing a par four, it's still going to measure 500 yards. So, of course, length means quite a bit. But really, it's what I'm hearing is it's all around the greens. Well, defining your ball on the green is going to be a problem, because all the grass is from fairway, tees and the greens are the same grass. Just when you get to the fairways, it's cut a little bit tighter. So it's very difficult to distinguish what's the fairway and what's the green. In fact, they're putting little white dots around the edges of the green so you can determine if you're on the green or not. So it's something else.
It is. It's all fescue grass, Jamie. Is it a grass that you've played on in your lifetime?
Yeah, it's the fine grass you get on the Lynx golf courses. And you'll see that Lynx effect this week. The course is brown. So you'll see it had that old Lynx effect, which is what they were trying to create. They've done well there. I think it might be raining on Friday over there, and the wind's going to blow on that Puget Sound in the far northwest of America. I can't wait.
Let's spin through the betting here with William Hill. Rory McIlroy 7-1.
Can we just
favorites.
Go back a bit, David?
Yeah.
Because the quotes that some of the players have been saying about this course. Ryan Palmer called it a joke. Rory McIlroy, what's Mike Davis's handicap? Another player is calling it ridiculous and a complete farce. Never heard that before in a major championship. Sorry to interrupt you, but honestly, it's really, really got the pros backs up, this course.
That's what makes it so exciting in the lead-up, because nobody knows right now, Jamie. It's just an intriguing major championship, and it's difficult to... What do you think the winning score is going to be, for instance, Jamie?
No idea. Absolutely Honestly, no idea. No, the greatest quote, the greatest golfer that's ever played. Well, by the way, Phil Mickelson says he thinks it's wonderful. He's the only one I've heard.
Yeah.
Jack Nicklaus says the course isn't supposed to suit your game. You are supposed to suit your game to it. So all these guys moaning and groaning, it's not good for their chances. It really isn't. You cannot be going into week with all this going on in your head. So this is going to rule a lot of players out, in my opinion, because as soon as you start playing badly, you're just going to go anti-course.
Rory McIlroy is the 7-1 favourite here with William Hill. Jordan Spieth 8-1. Justin Rose 16-1. Phil Mickelson 16-1. Dustin Johnson is 20s. Ricky Fowler 22-1. Hideki Matsuyama is 25s, and it's 28-1. And bigger the rest. We'll go through the top end of the market, and we'll start with Rory McIlroy. Jamie, 7-1 McIlroy comes into this championship fresh, taking a bit of a break since disappointing performances at Wentworth and the Irish Open. Will this golf course suit Rory McIlroy?
Well, not after what he just said about Mike Davis's handicap. So he's obviously got his own opinions already. He's missed his last two cuts. I mean, that wasn't surprising because he's played so well before he came to Wentworth and his own tournament at Candy Down. So he's rested. He's had 6 wins the last 11 months. His stats are incredible. But I just think there's a few negatives there to be backing Rory this week for me. I like the fact that he's rested. I don't like the fact that he's missed a few cuts, hasn't played much golf recently, and he's moaning about the golf course. Mm.
Jordan Spieth is 8-1. Jamie, Masters champion, fearless young competitor, and his caddy knows about this golf course as well, Michael Greller. He's been around the golf course on numerous occasions. Jordan Spieth this week, 8-1 here with Hills.
Yeah, they reckon his caddy was university up there, and he went round it well over 50 times. You know, that has got to help. It really has, because none of the other players have played this course. They did have the US Amateur, so Jordan Spieth played in that. He actually shot 83 in the second round during that championship, so that doesn't bode well. He's a better player now. The fact that his caddy knows, you know, he'll know where you got to hit it, especially when the wind turns, and it will. So that's a really big advantage for Spieth, and how can you knock his form, what he's done this year? Runner-up many times, won the Valspar, won the Masters in fantastic fashion. However, I thought at the Masters he'd hold a lot of putts. His putter really worked well for him. They say these greens are going to take some reading and take some putting, so I don't think you can rely solely on your putting round here.
No, Jordan Spieth, an 8-1 shot. His win in the Masters was incredibly impressive. He seems unflappable, and many people suggesting that he's got an old head on young shoulders, Jamie. Do you see any other chinks in his armour? Is it a game that will stand the test of time?
It certainly will. I don't see any chinks in his armour whatsoever. And I'd much rather be this week. I'd much rather be backing Spieth than McIlroy. Certainly, I think he's got far more in his favour than Rory has. So he was third in the Memorial recently. He's played golf. You know, I think I wouldn't put anybody off backing Jordan Spieth.
Justin Rose next in the betting at 16-1, Jamie. Beaten in a playoff at Memorial and winner of this championship back in 2013 at Merion as well.
Yeah, he's been runner-up a few times recently, tied second in the Masters as well, but he has won in New Orleans this year, Justin. He's a terrific ball striker. Really, really good tee to green, Justin Rose. On the greens, he's a bit hit or miss, but I think this golf course, you're going to have to be very accurate with your approach shots, and that's what Justin Rose is. So Justin, the form he's in, he's right on top of his game. He's in the form of his life. This is the peak of Justin Rose's career. Could he win his second US Open? Quite easily.
Phil Mickelson is also 16-1. You mentioned Mickelson at the early on in the podcast, Jamie. Six-time a runner-up at the US Open Championship. This is the title that he covets most.
It certainly is. 45 this week as well on Tuesday. Big Phil. He played last week in the tournament in Memphis, finished tied third there, shot 65 last round. He said that was really important because he was struggling to find his game. And I think you need somebody who's been to this venue quite a few times. Mike Davis, the USGA guy who sets his course up, said you've got to know this course. Having 2 or 3 practice rounds is no good. You've got to come here for 5, 6, 7 rounds of golf to get to know it. Mickelson's done that, and I just really think he might go on to become the 6th player in history to achieve the career modern day Grand Slam that is. That's alongside Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Tiger Woods, and the great Jack Nicklaus. So for me, Phil Mickelson, I think he's got a great chance.
He's 16-1, Phil Mickelson. What about the chance of Dustin Johnson, Jamie? 20-1. There seems to be a belief that it's only a matter of time for Dustin Johnson. Has he got the mental fortitude to succeed around a golf course like this?
Well, no, I don't think he has. World number seven, however, come back from an enforced layoff. The only thing that sticks in my mind is Whistling Straits, and this course is similar. If everybody can remember Whistling Straits with all the bunkers, and he grounded his club on the last, didn't he, in that bunker he thought was a waste area. It's a similar feel and look to that, and Dustin Johnson gives the ball an almighty hit. If he's on his game, if it goes well, he's just capable of winning anything. But I don't see it. I really don't.
What about his withdrawal at the FedEx St. Jude last week? Do you think he just thought, I'll chuck it in here? He was a few over par early on and get to Chambers Bay early.
I think there's a few of the players in different tournaments around the world that, you know, if you don't have a good first round, you know, suddenly you've got a sore wrist or a fractured eyelash. and that just encourages you to leave the tournament and concentrate on the next week. I've done it myself.
Have you?
Yeah, I certainly have. Yeah, I remember playing in Singapore in a pro-am for a big event out there, and it was too hot for me. I just couldn't cope with it, and I thought, right, I'm pulling out. I'm going to play next week instead. So pros do it. It's your livelihood. It's what you're there for.
Ricky Fowler is a 22-1 shot, Jamie. Top five finishes in all the majors last season. Loves playing links golf. He's got the ability to work it both ways as well. And what a scintillating finish at the Players' Championship. Ricky Fowler, that finish was just incredible to win that tournament.
Yeah, it's about time, isn't it? We've been waiting for Ricky Fowler. He's still a young man, ninth in the world, Ricky Fowler. As you say, he's had a fantastic record. He's in my like list. I've got a like list and a don't like list, and he's in the like list. He's down the bottom of it. But yeah, Ricky Fowler, he's producing more shots now. He's worked on his game. Again, he's got to have a chance. But with this course, and there's no course form to go by, it's really difficult to pinpoint anybody in particular. But Ricky Fowler's joined the winner's circle this year. Got to have a chance.
And Hideki Matsuyama, 25-1. A supreme ball striker, Matsuyama, and his major championship record, it's just going to keep getting better and better, isn't it, as he progresses, because he looks like a player out of the very top draw.
Yeah, well, we were waiting for Ryo Ishikawa from Japan to be that first Japanese player to win a major. It looks more likely to be Matsuyama. He's a terrific player, still learning. You know, he's still learning at the top level, and he needs to get in contention a few times, which he's done, to learn his trade at that very top level. Will his putter hold out is the question for me for Matsuyama. Very deliberate player, but a terrific talent. He will be the first Japanese player to win a major. Not sure it's going to be here.
Okay, and the only other player in there before we get to the 33-1 shots is Henrik Stenson. Not many people talking about Henrik Stenson this week. 28-1 he is.
Yeah, well, he's had such a great 3 or 4 years, Stenson, but this year's been a bit fragmented. He was injured before ill before the Masters, didn't perform great there. Finished tied 13th in Sweden a few weeks ago, didn't really rip up any trees. Hits a lot of greens in regulation. That's what's in his favour around here. And he's like the Terminator, Henrik Stenson. He hits the ball a mile, very physically imposing. Will he hold enough putts? I don't know. I just don't think he's played well enough this year to back him with any confidence.
Okay, and it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. It's picks time here.
Well, we've got to talk about Tiger, David.
Yeah, we have.
We've got to talk about Tiger.
He's 66-1, Tiger Woods. Who'd have thought a few years ago six years ago, we'd be talking about Tiger Woods being 66-1 for a major championship, the US Open. But 7 years now, Jamie, time not on his side.
That's right. Torrey Pines, US Open in 08 was his last major win. That's a long time ago. And he's 195th in the world rankings. Now, the 195th, had a little look, football team in the world rankings. Who are they? Have a guess. Go on. Have a guess.
Oh, Mauritius?
Close. Fiji.
Okay, that part of the world then.
So how can the world number 195 win this? Well, he can't. I mean, you think 17th in the Masters, he played well at the Masters, in fairness to him.
Yeah.
But 85 at Memorial was horrendous. I think he'll do better here. He's been practicing hard. I think he'll make the cut. I can't see him challenging.
Can't find a fairway, can he, Jamie? By all
accounts.
Well,
he's wide enough. If he can't find these, he's in trouble.
They are wide fairways, aren't they? Something we didn't discuss at the top of the programme, but Tiger, well, apparently the iron game's there with the putting, but the long game's nowhere near.
Yeah, he was never really a great driver of the golf ball. Near the end of his major winning streak, I remember him playing around Oakland Hills when he won the USPGA. He hit a 2-iron virtually all the way around. He hit that stinger and kept the driver in the bag. So it has caught up with him, his driving. What about the world number three, Jim Furyk? World number three, who's he paired with? Miguel Angel, a couple of oldies, Miguel Angel Jimenez and Monty. That is an insult for me. As good a player Jimenez and Monty have been in their careers, to pair the world number three with those two is no good for me. And, you know, he's had a fantastic season, Jim Furyk. Lots of people fancy him around here. He's got the right sort of game. I think that's a really, really poor draw.
Do you think he's long enough? Do you think length is going to be a determining factor this week or not?
Well, the thing is, through the history of playing in tournaments that I've played in and watching major championships, sometimes on the long courses, you know, for some reason, it's the shorter hitters that do well because they keep the ball in play. You're going to be able to run the ball into these greens. And McDowell's, your Furyk's, your canny, gritty little players, I think will do quite well around here. Matt Kuchar's another one I quite like round here. And when you get to the shorter courses where the longer players, like Tiger, can hit their irons off the tee and get the ball in play, but then dominate it with their high ball flight, that's when they come in. That can happen. Of course, we just don't know. We're in a bit of an unknown territory with this golf course.
Give us your selections then, Jamie, with your thoughts ahead of this US Open Championship.
No idea. No, I have. It's Phil. I just think the fact that he's desperate to win this US Open, forget the Grand Slam, he just wants to win the US Open. Six times runner-up. He's been there a number of times. I think that's going to really help him and count. 16-1 is decent, but I just think he's desperate to win a US Open. He's in form. It's not heart, this. It's head with Mickelson. I would like to keep Spieth on my side. And I also like Kuchar. And do you know what? Graham McDowell at 100-1 could surprise a lot of people. So if I'm allowed my main selection is Phil Mickelson, but I keep an eye on Kuchar, McDowell, and if you want to save anything, save on Spieth.
Okay, Jordan Spieth 8-1, Phil Mickelson is 16-1, Matt Kuchar is 50-1, and Graham McDowell in the betting at 100-1. Just before we get onto some of the supporting markets as well, need to ask you about my two picks here, Jamie, purely from a selfish point of view here.
I just want to hear
your thoughts. Jimmy Walker, 33-1.
Like him. I've always liked him as a player. Getting on a bit, don't you think he's a little bit old to suddenly burst onto the scene as a world-class player, though?
Yeah, that's true. Remember Mark O'Meara, though, Jamie?
Yeah, I do remember him. Yeah, true. Yeah, he won a couple of majors in his 40s, fair point.
He did. And Brant Snedeker, the other one. 40
not for me.
No?
Not for me, no. No, you can have him. Well done.
You disappoint me, Jamie.
Well, they like him. Isn't his game really revolves around his putting?
Yeah, I suppose. He is a good putter. He's not putted as well as he has done in previous years. Got that blend of Open Championship and US Open form.
Yeah, he has. Wait till you see these greens on TV.
Yeah, I've seen the flyovers. They look terrible, in all honesty. they do, though, don't they? To the naked eye, you look at those greens and you think, you wouldn't play on a municipal golf course in your...
Well, they'll putt better than they look. Do you remember the greens at Pebble Beach in 2010?
Vaguely, yes.
That burnt dapple effect. That's what they're going to look like. But they'll putt okay, but they're going to be really difficult to read.
Will they roll okay? Do you think those little short five-footers, will players be complaining about the bobbles they're getting on those, or do you think they'll run... True.
I hope so. It'd be great TV.
Well,
they'll complain. Yeah, but they used to, as I say, Charles Schwartzel was really moaning the other day, saying, we've just played Memorial, the greens were perfect, this, that and the other. Well, you know what? Golf's not perfect. If you bought on Lynx Golf, you'll see the ball bubble a little bit. But I still think you better knock the ball in the hole. Hmm. When you do a putting drill, you can put down a club shaft on the ground and hit your putt. It'll jump over the shaft and still go in the hole.
Yeah.
So it's more in your mind than it is a physical thing.
Okay. And some of the sporting markets then, you've looked at top Irishmen.
Well, yeah, Graham McDowell, I think 5-1. Rory's what, 1-3 in that market? Is that right?
That is.
And you've got Darren Clark, who's not been playing well at all for really the last year or two. Shane Lowry is a quality act, mind. So I think Graham McDowell at 5-1. If you wanted to go Lowry as well, I wouldn't put you off. But I don't know. I'm going against Rory this week, so I think Graham's a big price. You know, he's been runner up in the US Open and won one. He likes it. It's his sort of golf.
A couple of Swedes in the top Swedish player market. Henrik Stenson, one of them at 4-11. Alex Norén, the other one at 2-1.
Yeah, well, that's a good bet. 2-1 to beat Henrik Stenson. Yeah. Alex Norén, I followed him for Sky. I was doing the course commentating for Sky. I walked around two rounds with Alex Norén. He played fantastic. He's long. He gives the ball a serious belt. Really top-class putter. It was only a couple of years ago we were thinking of him getting in the last Ryder Cup team, and then he got injured. He's through all that. He's played really, really well on European Tour this season. Very, very consistent. Why could he not carry that form through for a US Open? Remember, Stenson was 13th in that tournament in Nordia, about 8 shots behind him. So I think that's a really good bet for Alex Norén.
Just for listeners that are tuning in and looking ahead to future tournaments as well, you've been doing a lot of course commentary for Sky recently, a decent amount anyway, Jamie. Are there any players that have really caught your eye, you think, that look like future stars?
Well, there's a lot of good young players on the European Tour now. Tommy Fleetwood, Danny Willett, and Chris Wood. There's a triumvirate of Englishmen that are playing really, really well. There's lots of good young French players around. Romain Wattel, Alexander Levy. Obviously, there's Victor Dubuisson. There's an awful lot of good young talent, not just in the UK, but around the continent. This Alex Norén's a good player. Joost Louten from Holland. Mm. Terrific young player as well.
And a lot of quotes that I've read suggest that the Europeans could populate the leaderboard this week. Jason Day suggested that you needed length off the tee, but he could see a lot of Europeans being in contention over the weekend, given the demands and the nature of the golf course.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Most of our top Europeans play in America, so what's that about? You know, I'm not really going along with that one anymore, you know. Mm. It's like when it rains or when it's really windy. You know, it does rain and it does blow in America and Australia and the other countries as well. So yeah. I think it's a more of a global sport now. People are used to adapting to those sort of conditions. What about this Sam Horsfield, this young amateur that Bolter's taken under his wing? He qualified in America to get in it. They reckon he's off a +7 handicap, would you believe? And we just wish him well. I mean, he's done fantastically well to get it. He could be the next future superstar.
Well, Ian Poulter, certainly. He's been tweeting about Sam Horsfield for a few years now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, yeah. So, big, well done for getting in it to start with. He went through the US sectional qualifying. So let's wish him all the best.
Let's finish off then, Jamie, with your ever-popular three-ball Yankee.
This one's going to go in as well. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
Martin Kaymer, defending champion, not talked about him. 13-8 to beat Gun Yang and Rory McIlroy. So I think Kaymer... He'll come through on that one. Shane Lowry, talked about him, really like his game. He's 6-4 to beat Ben Martin and Stevie Gallagher, who's been struggling a bit. Louis Oosthuizen, 2-1 to beat Tiger Woods and Ricky Fowler. Past Open champion, Louis Oosthuizen, hits the ball a mile, loves links golf, very used to this sort of conditions against the out-of-form Woods, but obviously the in-form Fowler. I think he's 2-1 to beat Ricky Fowler in that group. And then obviously is Alex Norén, who we've just picked out to beat Kevin Kisner, George Kutsir. Alex Norén's 13-8, banging form again. This course will remind him of the one in Sweden. He's been playing in wind and firm conditions. So his game's in place for this test.
Let's hope Rory McIlroy doesn't win this week, Jamie, because I think you've opposed him in every market possible so far. Against him in the three ball, against him in the top Irish, and of course...
You've got to take a view
as well. You have got to take a view.
You've got to take a view. He's a quality. Rory McIlroy could win any tournament anywhere. You know, he's just brilliant to watch. But the vibes I get personally when I hear a top player moaning about a course where he's turned up, I cross him off straight away. He could still go on and win, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. 50-1 that accumulator. Obviously, play as a Yankee. Martin Kaymer 13-8 in his three ball. Shane Lowry 6-4. Louis Oosthuizen at 2-1, and Alex Norén at 13-8. Thank you for your company, Jamie.
Thanks, Dave. It's like buying money, that.
We'll see. We'll see on Thursday.
Enjoy the goal. 5
late
o'clock
on Friday morning, won't
on
it?
Thursday. 5 o'clock.
What are you doing this week, Jamie?
Let's not forget that it's, what, how is it, 8 hours behind?
Yeah,
the West Coast.
It's late night,
so it's going to have a very late finish, about 3 a.m, I reckon. So, unfortunately, you have to set your alarm clocks.
Are you around this week? Are you around this week in terms of on any coverage?
What do you mean? What
Sky
I'm doing
Sports?
On TV? No, I'm not doing any Sky. No, okay. I might go into Sky News or something, but I'm on the couch watching Royal Ascot on the golf.
Good stuff. Thank
Happy
you.
Happy days.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your company, Jamie. Enjoy the week.
Thanks, David.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.